May we read responsively selection 47, Christian discipleship. You will notice that these passages come from Matthew, John, and Hebrews. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord.
It is enough for the disciple that he is his master, and the servant as his Lord.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith.
May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, would that more people were in the kingdom of God. So fill thy servants with thy Holy Spirit that they cannot contain themselves, but will be ever witnessing for thee. We pray especially for all thy servants this day, those in farmost lands, those that have a vision and are in the service here at home. But especially we pray for the men involved in the pastoral ministry. Be with them as they prepare and plan for this Sunday. Be with them as they are involved with their people, and help them truly to be instruments of thine these days and continuously. But we realize that there are so many conditions over this world that ought not to be and that should be improved. We realize that there are many this day that will die because they do not have food. Would that there could be a better distribution of the food. We realize that there are many this day that will die, that would live if they had the medicines that are available in our drug stores. Grant that there might be a better distribution of this medicine and those to administer it. We realize that there are many living this day and their days with very little hope of anything of worth out of life. And help somehow, in some way, those of us that are among the redeemed can be instruments whereby they can have hope, our hope. We thank thee for Southern Baptists, their interest in their ministry, and the vision that has led to the founding of our seminaries and this seminary. We thank thee especially for those that have contributed of lives and means for the welfare of this institution. We pray thee be with the executive committee of the Board of Trustees as they select a man to succeed President Binkley. Help us to be ready for him when he comes, and help us together to go on to greater heights. We thank thee for President Staley, especially, and President Binkley. Grant that we may have their administrations in better perspective. Grant that we may support especially President Binkley in these days. Be with us as members of this family as we move on through the closing days of this year, and help us as we reach the end of the semester and commencement, that we can do so with a feeling of pride and a feeling that these days have been well spent. This is our prayer in thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. To read the first six verses of the second chapter of 1 Timothy. I exhort therefore the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A few years ago, my wife and I made a trip to Louisville, Kentucky, and stopped by the dental school of the University of Louisville to see a brother of mine who was a student there. There were more cars parked in the area than I had remembered from previous visits, and I mentioned the matter to my brother. He stated that the employees of the city transit system had gone on strike that morning without prior announcement, and people had had to drive into the inner city who normally did not drive to work. In an effort to settle the dispute between management employees, a mediation board of three men were appointed, and it was difficult to find men who were qualified to serve in this capacity. Men had to be found who understood the position of and who were acceptable to each group. To be acceptable to the employees, the men had to be familiar with the living conditions of the employees. They had to know how much needed to be allowed for housing, clothing, and food, how expensive it was for a child to attend the public schools, what expenses were involved in maintaining the social position. The mediator also must be able to determine the needs and understand the position of the transit company. He must look at maintenance cost, depreciation, insurance, energy factors, and replacement cost. He needed a knowledge of cost accounting in order to be able to determine what it cost the company to produce these services. He must consider what constituted a fair return to investors. Men were found who had these insights and who were acceptable to management and labor. A settlement was reached within a short time, and the transit system was in operation again. Paul in 1 Timothy recognizes that man is estranged from God and that a mediator is needed to bring about a reconciliation. Paul proclaims that Jesus is qualified to serve in this capacity, to serve as mediator between God and men. Before thinking specifically about this role of Jesus as mediator, I would like to define the word further with you. Webster sets forth a mediator as one who tries to bring about friendly relations between those who openly are disagreeing, or one who acts to settle differences among men, nations, or powers. Intercessor and peacemaker are good synonyms for this word, but the most acceptable synonym that I have found for the word mediator is the word or words go between. The mediator goes between people and endeavors to bring them together. In order for anyone to qualify to serve as a mediator between God and man, He must know intimately both God and man. And Paul sets forth the fact that Jesus does qualify from this standpoint. The testimony of those that were with Jesus sets forth the fact that they felt that he was of God. Hear some of these testimonies. Never did man so speak. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. We know that thou art come from God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Master, we know that thou art true, and teach us the word of God in truth. Jesus was the answer to prophecies and came to be regarded as the final voice of prophecy. But his actions and his preaching bespoke God. Jesus proclaimed that God is love and that he loves all men. His kingdom is not political. It indwells in the hearts of men. Citizens of the kingdom must be free from pretense and must present themselves as little children. Jesus presented God as a personal God who would draw men to something higher, unto himself. But to be from God would not alone be sufficient. He must become man and experience life as man. Jesus, as an infant, had a home environment in line with the family life of the times. He learned a trade as was customary for the young men of that day. He received instruction in the home and the synagogue. When Jesus began his ministry, he did not go to the synagogue or temple and wait for men to come to him. All the country was his parish. He ministered to people who had no minister, the fevered, lame, blind, leprous, the poor. Sinners were his parishioners. Jesus experienced life as an infant, child, teenager, and adult. He experienced life's joys. He suffered and died. Jesus was from God and was of men. Only in this way could he serve so effectively as mediator between God and men. As man comes to Jesus, he is led to the divine through the man Jesus. But granted that Jesus is from God and was of men, granted that he does qualify to serve as mediator, what is the meaning for me? You men of God must serve in this capacity as mediators. You must bring men to God and God to men. Pastors who are going to men as men of God tell me that as they knock and as doors are open, that people yearn to talk with the man of God. Men are crying out against the untouchable lords of industry and the slavery of work. Women are crying out about the confinements of work and the home. Young people find inadequate motivation in the schools. They are frustrated and are drifting in life. The man of God can bring newness in life as he sets forth the precepts of Christian stewardship of the home and womanhood. He can lead young people to new hope as he sets forth worthy goals of life. What great need there is in this day for mediators between men and men, people and people, nations and nations, between God and man, God and mankind. I was present at the morning worship service in a North Carolina Baptist church recently when a man who was a member of the church came to the front of the church during the invitational hymn. The man had revealed to his pastor a few days ago that he was guilty of embezzlement. The pastor had helped him to make arrangements with his company to refund the money, and then had gone with him as he had talked with his family and acquainted them with the condition. And as this man came to the front of the church, the pastor related that day that this man would like to acknowledge his wrong and solicit the help of his Christian brothers in living a more exemplary life. And then he asked the members of the church if they could support the man in this request to come down and shake hands with him after church. And down the aisles they moved. and people long will remember the service that day in that church. I saw another pastor bring two families together who had become enemies over a land dispute. Man almost universally experiences times when he is afraid and lonely. And there are some pastors who seem to have the knack of finding and being with men at these times. A friend was talking with me recently about the death of his wife. He was alone in the hospital room, knowing that death possibly would come that night. He was in semi-sleep when he realized that his pastor had slipped into the room and was sitting there. And the pastor was there when the end came. The greatest role a pastor can play is that of helping a man draw upon God's grace in an hour of need. But mediators are needed, it seems to me, so desperately at this time, who can step between nations and draw them together. Does not the Christian influence offer the best hope for peace among men? Would that we could send peacemakers in the numbers that we have sent men of war. Would that Christ did indwell in the hearts of men over this world. Perhaps someday, perhaps through you, the Prince of Peace will reign to a greater extent. As a young man, I heard stories about World War I experiences, and some of them are unforgettable. During that war, men defended positions from trenches, and the land between the trenches was no man's land. German mortars had found the range and had cut off a section of our men. The field telephone was dead, and there was no way to contact headquarters and ask for support and help. One of the men pulled up out of the trench and began to follow the telephone line. And the men saw what he intended to do, and soon a connection was made. The situation was made known to headquarters, and our mortars silenced the enemy mortars. When they found the soldier, he was dead. But he had one line in one hand and the other in the other, and the connection had been made through his body. As you men go forth as men of God, may you go in God, and through you may others be joined to our God and our Lord. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, so touch our hearts that we may be lonely with the lonely, that we may be depressed with the depressed, that we may be sick with the sick. So touch our hearts, eternal God, that we may love the unloved. This is our prayer in thy name.